Good morning and welcome to this morning's Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee. We have apologies for Councillor Imrie in Coventry. Are there any other apologies? And Councillor Young. And order of business, as in the paper. Item 4 is minutes of the meeting of the 20th of October for approval. Are members happy with that? Agreed? Okay, any matters arising? None. Item 5 is a submission to the Scottish Government compliance with climate change duties, report by Ian. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. First is the report that originally went to Cabinet was to inform members of the Council's statement of compliance with climate change duties for 2014-15 and to recommend its submission to Scottish Government by the due date. And obviously the decision of Cabinet is there, being reported to you. The Climate Change Scotland Act 2009 provides the requirement for formal reporting by public bodies, that includes councils, on their performance in tackling climate change, this reporting to be on an annual basis. There are powers to require that reporting, and they've now come into force for the reasons set out in the report. And reporting on performance for this current year, 2015-16, will be the first year of when it's statutory required, the report needing to be submitted to government by this time next year, the end of November 2016. But to assist ministers in gauging the effectiveness and appropriateness of the official template for reporting, which is public bodies need to fill out, public bodies have been asked to submit information on this current, on the year 2014-15, by the end of this month, in other words, by the 30th of November. So that covers the period from April 2014 to March of this year. What you'll see attached to the report is the completed template for that year of 2014-15, and the headlines from it I've picked out at paragraph 2.7 of the cover report. You'll see there is some good news in many ways in terms of carbon reductions, but also you can see there are other areas where there's obviously some attention still going to be needed, and the sort of strategy towards carbon reduction and climate change is something which needs to tackle that and to pay attention to that. What I would say is, and this is something I know that this committee has mentioned in the past, in terms of the attention which is being paid to climate change, then this will become more focused as a result of the review of the structure of the planning service, which is currently going through. It has been approved for change, and so that review of the planning service is going ahead, and that will actually have as part of the structure a particular post at a senior level which will have a particular remit for looking at issues to do with climate change, and therefore we would expect to see some improvement in the reporting and in the results themselves as we move into future years. But on the basis of that, I'm happy, Chair, to take any questions. I've got colleagues here who can assist if there are any detailed matters which members raise.
Thanks, Ian. Comments, questions? Lisa?
Thanks, Convener. There's reference to the emissions from corporate emissions associated with non-fleet business mileage, and obviously that's only those miles which are claimed. Clearly, as the largest employer in Midlothian, and many miles being done by those employees as well as councillors, other than the ones that are actually claimed, is there any way of tracking what the non-claimed mileage is?
Councillor, there is a commitment in the Council's current travel plan to looking at how we capture data on business mileage, and that action will be carried out sometime between 2014 and 2017, and there is the option of asking staff to set out in their mileage claims all the mileage that they're they've carried out, even if they're not actually asking to be reimbursed. There is a small percentage of what we call grey fleet mileage that isn't captured on the business mileage claims, but that is something we could look to introduce in, within the next couple of years.
Thank you. John?
Chair, I fully understand that point. I have to say, going through the template, I think there probably could be some improvements made to it. I would have thought that the opportunities here, because effectively this is a sort of trial pilot year for submission, that the authorities will want to indicate where parts of the template could be improved or modified in some way.
But I'm presuming that, once that information goes into the Scottish Government, that's a template for collecting the information, perhaps, and that we'll get a report on that's more detailed on the findings, if you like. Was the way I looked at it, and I was just looking for some confirmation that was probably the case.
I think it's got two aspects to it, Chair. One is there's a responsibility on each public body to demonstrate how it is dealing with matters to do with carbon reduction and climate change. So in itself, then the Lothian Council would have a basis for having a demonstrable approach to reporting that. But yes, I agree that collectively, then in terms of the sort of national picture, the Scottish Government wants to have a full understanding of just how what progress is being made across the country.
Brian?
Yeah, just to say, I don't really like this format that's in front of me here at all. I find it a bit difficult to actually follow. And when I think about our pages 25 onwards, are a waste of space totally. But they've been printed into everybody's agenda, and we want to cut down that kind of wasted space and that kind of printing agendas. Understand that this is the format that's shown to the Scottish Government. But I'd like to see a more user-friendly format given to myself, and I don't know if others would agree with that, which could be a bit more succinct in the actual paper it uses, and it could be within the A4 kind of parameters to us. Even if somebody's trying to read this online, it would be very difficult, to actually follow the good, the bad, and the ugly, the challenges and the. The positive information should be both included in the kind of report, but to make it meaningful for us to divulge it all, then yes, we want to see what the targets are. You want to see if we're meeting the targets or not. We don't really need so much measurement on the actual CO2's individual formats, but the travel to work thing. Does stick out a wee bit there, it seems to be increasing, the actual CO2 emissions, and would you say this was maybe different working practices that's maybe caused this, or the closure of maybe some facilities that we have as a council base that's maybe added to this, or can you think of another reason that would add to this? On the positive side of things, the electric vehicle that we have, and maybe the possibilities of further electric vehicles might be actually included in this kind of report to us. And I know the travel plan is always getting reviewed, but sometimes that's more for logistical reasons than actually carbon footprint reasons.
Jack, in terms of the first point in relation to the way in which it's reported, yeah, fully take on board the members' view on that, in as much as, yeah, I agree, it would be helpful that whatever the template that's finally agreed upon by Scottish Government, that there is some form of readable summary of progress against outcomes and targets in relation to Midlothian, and I'll give assurances that that will be the way in which we'll take this forward. In relation to the detailed comments in relation to staff mileage, travel plans, if colleagues have comments, I'm more than happy for them to contribute.
Councillor, we've had an internal discussion within the service around what might be the reasons for the increase in business mileage, particularly non-fleet business mileage. But I think it's going to require further analysis to try and work out whether, as you suggest, the office rationalisation arrangements have had any impact or influenced those figures. I don't have an answer for you at the moment, but it's something I'd like to explore, and I'm sure we can feed back to you the outcome of our analysis.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, it is probably one of the more baffling things that are in there, and that is the staff commuting having risen. We've reduced massively the staffing levels that we've got in here, and I mean I've massively reduced them. Car emissions and vehicle emissions are now a lot better than what they have been for over the years. We've introduced home working, smart working. We have all our tradesmen with iPads, so instead of coming directly in and out, they're going straight there. So it does kind of baffle me how there can possibly be a 25%, and I'm taking it about 25% of a rise for 3,721. And to 4,899 CO2 emissions. So I'm just wondering if there's a possibility the figures could actually be wrong.
Chair, what I'll let me do is we'll take that back, as you heard from Brian Forsyth, that's something which we are looking at with colleagues. Can I suggest that it is something whereby I'd undertake to provide a note to the members of the committee on the basis of what the research is when we look at this in detail?
Yeah, because I certainly wouldn't want to send in something being a picture of us going the wrong way, when in fact I'm kind of confused as to how we're going the right way and everything we've been doing. You know, even when we went to recycling, we went to 2 weekly uplifts for the bin, so it sort of neutralised itself. There wasn't any extra emissions going in for there. Food waste still to come in, so I'd expect on that you'll see emissions for the vehicles coming into play, so you could maybe expect a bit of a glitch. But overall, we're introducing the home working, smart technology use and all that should have actually cut back massively, and the great big cut in the amount of staff we actually employ should have helped. Ian.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, I would echo many of the comments that my colleagues have made there, particularly when you look at the only comparisons we seem to have are those between those in 2006-07 and the current year, which is very difficult to judge. And as Derek said, it's particularly against the employee totals, which we don't know what the comparison is there. But in general, I would say that we have a baseline here. We don't seem to know how we're progressing against those targets. There's, for example, what are we doing to achieve the 3%, I think it's 3% annual reduction and 25% figure against, sorry, 25% energy and buildings total reduction and the annual 3% target. You know, we really need to know how we're progressing against those targets. I also have concern that we have these objectives and they're pretty vague, like reorganising, having a project plan and all the rest of it, which you need to have in place, but we seem to be taking quite a while to get to that stage. Under 2C, one of the objectives given is mainstreaming carbon reduction and resilience to a changing climate into the organisational DNA. Now, that to me would mean that we have directives towards, for instance, our transport budget. Our transport budget should be geared towards reducing carbon emissions. we should have our planning regulations should be geared towards making sure that we only allow development in areas where there are good public transport links, and that patently isn't happening at the moment. Other things that I picked up on, it says there's not been any use of the climate change assessment tool. In 2003, the Council's Climate Change Declaration report said the Spatial Planning Assessment of Climate Emissions SPACE tool has been utilised to model the potential climate change impacts of the development strategy. But there's no mention of this in 2014 and 15, and we're no longer using that tool, or we've found it's of no use, or whatever, I'd be keen to know. Under 3.7 of the main report, it says involving communities and other stakeholders, not applicable. Now, I think there's a missed opportunity. There are many people, groups within Midlothian and external to Midlothian, who are doing a lot of good work towards reducing emissions. Can we not work with them? Can we not learn from them? Can we not help them to build it into our DNA? So I must say that we've got a baseline here, so the next year we'll be able to compare figures, but we've got very little to go on, and you know, the clock's ticking fast on climate change.
Okay, just a few points there to pick up, Chair. If I pick up on a couple of them, I'll ask Basanti to talk about buildings in a minute and Brian Forsyth to talk about assessment tools. But just in terms of the spatial planning, it is a key element of planning policy at national and regional as well as local level that we'd seek to ensure two things. One, that we minimise the amount of journey time which is required in relation to how we identify land for employment uses, retail uses, and particularly housing uses, so that the journey to work is reduced in terms of distance, etc. But also that the opportunity for the use of modes of transport which are less carbon intensive or carbon using, so in other words more in terms of pedestrian, walking, cycling, even use of public transport. So there is that tenet which runs through all the development plans. It doesn't necessarily mean it's the overriding one, so that every choice of allocated piece of land is optimal in terms of reducing transport. That's unlikely to happen because of other factors in the way in which planning is undertaken, town planning is undertaken. In relation to consultation with others, yes, absolutely. No difficulty with that at all. If there is, as I mentioned earlier, it's more of a developing picture in terms of how we are going to be tackling climate change at officer level in a more focused way, then contact with other groups, learning from others, seeing the experience of other public authorities as well as other organisations, absolutely. In terms of, it may be best if Basanti wants to talk about the buildings issue, and then Brian maybe pick up on the assessment tool.
With regards to the buildings, that is kind of covered in the carbon management plan. There's a series of projects that have been running over the last 5 years, which include spend save projects such as changing the lighting in the schools. Some of the projects are mentioned in the template here at 3F. Those are the ones that kind of came to fruition on the target year. We also have the energy awareness campaign that's ongoing. Refurbishment of buildings, the building rationalisation of offices, all those come under the what we're doing within buildings, and we are actually reducing our energy consumptions in those. I couldn't give you the details of all the what are the individual projects, but we could provide that to you if you wish that. Thank you.
Just to add to what Basanti says, there is a difficulty with the template, and the template actually follows a statutory schedule set out in legislation. So the point, so it does tend to obscure some of the areas where we're actually doing quite well. I accept a number of the points made about the presentation of the thing. It can be a bit impenetrable trying to find out where the good and not so good news is. One of the areas of good news is that against those 25% and 3% targets that you mentioned, I think I'm right in saying we are actually on target. And in 2.7 of the covering report, we've tried to elaborate a little bit on the template by saying that emissions associated with our operational buildings have actually gone down from nearly 18,000 tonnes of CO2 equivalent in 06-07 to 12,795 tonnes of CO2 equivalent in 2014-15. So that's actually where there's probably a particular good news story. But those bullets in the covering point were an attempt to try and bring out some of the key elements, and certainly in terms of building emissions or operational buildings, that's where there is a success story, and the targets that I've set have been met. With regards to the space tool that Councillor Baxter mentioned, that was a tool which we sought to use as part of the local development plan process to look at the relative merits of different development strategies, where sites might go within the context of the plan process. The climate change assessment tool that's mentioned here is a fairly new tool which allows public bodies to look at their own governance and planning processes and see whether they've got the right arrangements within in place within the organisation to properly take forward a climate change strategy. So they are two different tools, but there is a commitment within, if not the template itself, within the covering report, to using the tool in respect of 15-16, which is the first year in respect of which this reporting will be statutory.
Ian, was that sufficient?
Yeah, just to sort of one supplementary question, really. It's that I suppose the bottom line we're all asking here is when and how will we find out how we're actually progressing against the stated targets? Do we have to wait another year, or are there other ways of us getting that information between now and then?
Well, Chair, what I suggest is that, without giving an absolute commitment, but what I think might be useful is for us to try and provide an interim statement probably before the summer recess, which can pick up a lot of the points which have been raised, and including that raised in terms of the way in which we can provide a transparent picture of where we are in relation to Midlothian on using the right baseline information. So if I take away that intention to do that and bring that back, would that be helpful?
Yeah, seems an agreement. Brian?
Yeah, I'd support that. And the 6 months from the 30th of November might be a good target to actually even aim for. And the kind of questions I have on the targets, I mean, is all local authorities got the same target? And is there any difference between your cost reduction kind of overlap to the actual the CO2 reductions?
Sorry, no, I wasn't. My apologies, I wasn't quite clear.
A lot of things we do is obviously for to save money. We put the new LED lights in, you know, it'll save us money, you know, and saves the output currently. In the long term, it's all been done basically for financial arrangements. We want to reduce our energy consumption because we want to save money. Is there anything that's in this CO2 plan that's not just primarily about saving consumption and saving resources and saving money?
I wonder if what you're asking is how are things like spend to save addressed within the carbon management plan? Is that maybe the sort of thing you're asking? I don't have an answer for you, but and I'm not sure if Byzanti. I think we might have to maybe come back to you on at that point. As far as I'm aware, the carbon management plan, which is led on by colleagues and resources, as far as I'm aware, it's not addressed in the carbon management plan. They're leading on that plan, but we can certainly look into that and come back to you.
Sorry, yes, one other very quick question that just came to me. If the council decided to start generating its own renewable energy, say solar panels for instance, obviously there'd be energy savings and reduction in CO2 directly as a result of the reduced energy needs. But anything that we feed in to the grid, would that offset against our carbon emissions? And if so, would that also apply if we put solar panels on council houses, for example?
The part of the template that you have before you, as I explained, is essentially it's an Excel spreadsheet version of the statutory reporting requirement. There is another bit of the template which is very much in draft and which we haven't sought to complete this year. So, in answer to your question, solar panels and other renewable technologies on our own operational buildings, we would be able to report them within this format and show that we were mitigating our emissions in terms of technologies that we introduce into our council housing. We would be able to highlight that within the secondary part of the template, which will be filled in next year. So anyone, Scottish Government or otherwise, looking at the template would be able to see what contribution in terms of those technologies on our own estate and on our council housing was being made, and we would be able to indicate roughly what the emissions savings are compared to, for example, mains gas or mains electricity.
Lisa.
Thanks, Convener. Just really seeking clarity based on previous remarks made about our Spend to Save programme, because I'm not sure if I'm addressing this to you, Derek, or to one of the officers, but I thought I recalled in the previous administration when we put a lot of this Spend to Save programme in place, for example, the LED lighting, et cetera, things like that. I thought I recalled that they weren't actually just put in place to save money. I thought they were actually to achieve our carbon emission targets. I'd be grateful if I could have some clarity, because I didn't think it was just a cost-saving exercise. I thought it was about just this.
Yeah, certainly my recollection is the same as yourself. It was actually about protecting the environment and driving down the carbon emissions, which was why we, for example, switched the heating off in here and froze to death from May through to the end of September. It was also why we actually asked for further reports to come back as to why we couldn't replace all of the saving plan that we were given at the time by Ricky Moffat, which indicated that we actually saved money by putting in LED lights over the 25-year period. We asked for a report back, if you remember then, which then actually clarified it only saved that money if you got a grant for it there. But it wasn't just about saving money, it was about driving down the carbon emissions. Ian?
Sorry, just to agree, but my clear understanding is that, yes, the LED light fitting programme was directly involved with trying to reduce, you know, carbon emissions and energy use.
Sorry, correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, but I thought the point Brian was asking was, is there anything we're actually doing to reduce emissions that doesn't save money? That's the point he was making. It didn't get answered. I think that's am I right? That's the point he was making. Is it coincidental that we're reducing emissions?
I think
because everything that we're doing is about saving money.
I think by its very admission statement, is when you reduce your energy use, you save money. Because you're paying for that energy use, I would have thought.
It's all interrelated. You reduce your consumption, you're reducing your carbon, you're reducing your costs, and improving your environment and comfort, etc.
You have a situation where there's significant reductions could be arrived at by spending money on a bit of equipment that doesn't pay back, but it reduces the emissions. You know what I mean? I think that's the point. Is it? What's driving it, I think, was the point that maybe we'll try to get at.
You would need to define what piece of equipment would actually save emissions, because I can't, because it is about the use of, what I thought, of fossil fuels, your electricity, your energy use. And every time you drop that energy use, it has to surely drop the cost of running. It may never pay for itself. And the LED lighting, quite clearly, doesn't pay for itself. It does if you get the grant that came along with it. The council, or the public person at the council, would save money. But the reality is, if you were invested in replacing every single light with LED, the council wouldn't recoup that money. So, yes, in that basis, it's no getting its money back. It's no making a profit out of doing it, but it still delivers towards the LED lighting.
But that would suggest that we wouldn't have done it if we hadn't got the grant.
It suggests that we're doing it because it's probably prudent to do so as grants continue to come forward. You're doing them in sections because there's never going to be the money to get everybody to do the grant. However, I'm answering Ricky Moffat's questions here, and I'm not comfortable doing that. But I would suspect that, yes, the answer given there is that it goes hand in hand. Whenever you drop carbon, your carbon footprint, you save, or you stop paying out as much money. You might not always save from it.
Just to say, I think the council has a commitment to save carbon beyond the need simply to save resources. That's my understanding of our commitment. So the fact is, an awful lot of the things we do will save resources because we're reducing our energy needs. But I think what's important, and particularly the objective I think that Councillor Baxter quoted earlier, that clearly suggested that our commitment is to reduce carbon. And I think what's really important as we go forward with this, and particularly if we're bringing forward a report to members, which isn't simply the template, but is perhaps a clearer statement about our ambition and what we're doing here, is that that has to demonstrate that fundamental commitment to saving carbon beyond simply financial savings. That'd be my understanding of it.
Peter?
I found this report not all that easy to grasp. And I was even more confused when I saw on page 13 that this report relates to 230 council premises. Is that a printing mistake?
No, Chair, that's not. If you look at the total number of council premises, that's the sort of figure that you arrive at. When you remember, it includes all council premises.
Well, we surely have more. If we include all council properties, we have got all the council housing. 230, I can't get my head round it.
If it helps, that's the operational building. So that's the offices, the schools, the depots, etc. I'm looking across at colleagues, that's what I understand is the operational building. So the council housing stock is not included in those. But that obviously doesn't mean that the council housing stock is not subject to, and has been subject to, some pretty substantial improvements across the board in relation to boilers and insulation and windows, etc. There's been some fairly advanced programmes over many years in terms of improving the housing stock, and there are targets and there is data in relation to that. But in terms of this particular set of reporting, It is, you know, what is the council as a public body doing with its own estate, if you like, in relation to reducing carbon emissions?
About 5 years ago, the new council houses that were built in Woodburn were all installed with solar panels. I just wondered if you had any feedback of what for that scheme, like what savings have been made by installing the solar panels to the new builds.
I don't have figures for that, Chair, but I'm more than happy to contact the relevant people and to provide that information. Brian, if I may have some information.
The installation of those technologies on those buildings, I think, was principally driven by a policy in our current local plan. It was required to demonstrate that there would be a 10% reduction in CO2 emissions from the installation of these technologies. Whether that's actually being achieved, I don't know, but as Ian says, we can find out for you. That shouldn't be a problem.
Okay, any other questions, comments? Okay, thank you for your attendance. Thank you, Ian and team, Mary and team.
Tomorrow, I can't be at the very first meeting, but I could come to the second one. So I handed in my apologies for both, but I can come to the second one.